But if you're the brand, if you're the service provider, if you're the one that people need to pick to help them to get the outcomes that they want or whatever, then your marketing needs to be authentic. And what authentic means is it needs to be you. It needs to be like you. It needs to involve you.
Welcome to Passionate and Prosperous, the only podcast about creating success in your life and business by using your voice, gifts, and skills to do the work that lights you up, make money, and have massive impact in the world. This show teaches coaches, creatives, and service-oriented human beings how to trust in yourself and leverage your unique message, experience, and expertise to attract your ideal audience, create clients, and organically build your soul-aligned business. I'm your host, mindset and business strategy coach, Stacey Brass Russell, and I can't wait to help you to set yourself up for success and use your passion to create the prosperous life and business that you truly desire.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Passionate and Prosperous. We're going to talk today about authentic marketing, and I will tell you why I decided to talk about authentic marketing on this specific day. Well, it's because I've got a big celebration that I want to share with you, my community. Some of you that listen to the show are probably on my email list, and you know, if you're not, you should get on it and follow me on social media. So you may have seen my post or my email about this, but last week, something really big happened for me, which is that I was featured in Forbes. And it was like a monumental big deal win for me. And I definitely celebrated. I shared this with my community. So I did email it out and posted about it on social media. If you are, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, an expert of any kind, and you are wanting to get more exposure, more visibility, put yourself out there. One really important way that you can do that is by deciding that you're going to focus on trying to get some media coverage, right? Media meaning anywhere where someone else decides that they're going to feature you or use, you know, a quote from you or have you as a guest on something, whether that's a podcast or in a publication or on TV or, you know, on the radio, like whatever. So Forbes, in case you're not familiar, is a very, very like kind of big deal, well-respected publication. And getting a media win in Forbes is sort of like, you know, it's the Holy Grail. It's a big deal. It was on my vision board. And I had made the year of 2023, kind of starting mid-2023, I really committed to focusing on expanding my visibility and audience by seeing if I could work on getting more like of this kind of stuff, media coverage, media wins. And I did get some like before the Forbes. If you look at my website, we've got the like little strip that says like as seen in, right? And we've got all the logos. I've been in like Authority and Medium and the New York Post and blah, 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 whatever. But adding Forbes this week kind of felt like, woo, like, big deal. So the thing about the Forbes thing is that it wasn't a surprise, right? I had connected with the journalist in the fall. And when someone, you know, says, hey, sure, I'll like talk to you. You know, there's no guarantee that it's going to turn into a piece. But we ended up having 4 phone calls. You could call them interviews, conversations. And the thing that was really exciting about it was that when we first spoke, this was back in the fall, I had a little, I'm gonna label it as imposter syndrome. I had a little bit of this sort of insecurity around like, well, what am I going to bring to the table for like a Forbes thing? You know, because you think about the Forbes, you know, 500 lists, you know, it's all about money, like, you know, being like making a lot of money or how you help people make a lot of money. And I make good money for like a solopreneur coach, life and business coach, for sure. But I'm not like making millions, and I can't claim that I help my clients make millions, because none of my clients are seven-figure business owners at this moment. And I came into this conversation feeling a little bit like, wow, I hope that she thinks that what I could offer is valuable enough. And so the first thing I want to say to all of you listening is, this is such an important thing for us to work on as thought leaders, as passionate, mission-driven coaches and experts who really want to be out there in the world doing our work, is that we have to just own and believe that what we have to say and what we have to share is valuable. that it's okay if it's not what someone else, you know, says, that it's okay that it's not, I think that we can easily get into our heads about comparing and then questioning whether or not we're legit, you know? And that definitely was happening for me a little bit in the beginning. And I just was like, oh my God, I hope that I can come up with something that she's going to feel is valuable enough or worth writing in Forbes. And so the first one or two calls, she was asking me a lot of questions, and we were sort of talking about how I help my clients and, you know, what I really do. And then something really interesting happened, which is that we were supposed to have a third call, and she ended up having to cancel that call and then never rescheduled. And I sent I did my due diligence, and I sent a couple of follow-up, emails, and she, didn't respond. And then it was the holidays, and I definitely started feeling I don't know, maybe this is her way of being you didn't really have anything that I wanted to, talk about or whatever. But then I also thought, I don't think she would just vanish or ghost me or whatever. So I actually reached out to my media coach, right? Because I have a coach who had made the initial introduction. She had basically sent an email because she knows this journalist. And it wasn't there was no obligation. This wasn't that this woman had to do a piece with me just because, someone introduced us. The introduction was, hey, Elaine, that's the writer. I think that Stacey Brass Russell could be a really interesting, person for you to speak with. She's a business and life transformation coach, and she, helps coaches and entrepreneurs and service-based providers, whatever she said. And that was it. And so this woman, Elaine, reached back and said, sure, Stacey, I'd love to set up a call with you. And we could have had that one call, and she could have been like, so this is great, thanks, I'm really happy to know you, I'll reach out to you if I'm ever working on something that you'd be right for. She could have given me the brush off. But, we had these two calls, then we were supposed to have the third call. She kind of vanished. So I reached out to my media coach about 6 weeks ago. And I said, hey, I did my follow-up with Elaine. What do you suggest? Should I drop it? Should I reach out? And she said, oh, you should definitely send her another email, and this is what you should say. And so I sent her an email. She wrote back within 30 minutes. She was like, are you available tomorrow? We got on the phone. She basically explained to me that she was going through a really challenging life thing in the fall, and that she had kind of had to sort of, take a step back, but that she was really excited that I had, kind of reached out, because she was just now getting back to getting back to the people that she was in conversation with or whatever. And the coolest thing about it was that we had a conversation that I never would have had with her back in the fall. Because she basically opened the door for me to say, well, what do you think is going on? What do you feel would be really relevant? What would you want to talk about? And I, over the last few months, have really been in my business, my brand, really leaning in to some things that I think are really happening in the online business world, in the coaching industry, in the service-based industry. And that is that, and you've heard me talk about this on the show before if you listen to the show regularly, and that is that the landscape has changed, and people that were making a lot of money really easily in like 2022 and before that, especially during the pandemic or, you know, in service-based businesses, that in 2023, we saw a really big shift in the business, in the industries. And that shift was that we saw that people were not as like eager or hot to just buy anything and everything out there, and not eager to buy like so many like courses, and weren't really buying into like all the automations and all of this sort of impersonal business stuff that they were doing during the pandemic. I think during the pandemic, everyone was like buying up courses and buying up all these things, you know, because they were trying to figure out like what they could do from home and how they could work from home and how they could do all this. And then once the pandemic, we shifted out of the pandemic, and we also shifted. So we shifted back into like a less automated world. And you might say, oh, but AI emerged. And we can talk about that in a minute. But I think people were really craving like actual connection again. And then also were kind of burned a little bit by all of these like things that they invested in and got sort of, you know, shiny object syndrome for, with all these people promising everybody and their mother, like, you know, financial freedom and work from home and, you know, start your own course, put it out there, make money in your sleep. All of this kind of like big rising up of that happened during the pandemic. It was a real seizing of the moment opportunity for people who, you know, who are course creators, and they saw this opportunity to like to go out there and, you know, and sell people on ways to make money. And I think that what happened was a lot of people got burned by that, and a lot of people, it didn't work out, not surprisingly, because it takes a lot to just all of a sudden throw up a business and automate some shit and then expect to like get make money. And what happened was the whole landscape of everything like changed. And what we're seeing is that people are being way more selective about where they invest and what they invest in. People are taking longer, and most importantly, they're paying more attention to who they are buying from and who they're investing with. And when I said this to Elaine, like I was like, I said it practically exactly the same way I just said it to you. And when I said that to her, she was like, that is it. That is what we are going to talk about. And she was like so excited. I remember, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It was 6 weeks ago. But I remember feeling like, oh my God, I actually feel like I like now have the confidence about what this interview and what this conversation is going to be about, that like I don't feel insecure, because this Forbes journalist just validated that like talking about the landscape of the business and the shifts and the moves that like that service providers need to make in order to like meet our audience and our clients like where they are, so that we can still, you know, like make it, right? Like, so that we can still have businesses and make money and have clients. The fact that like I was just validated that I'm someone who can speak to that, because I don't teach people to try and create automated businesses and make funnels and evergreen programs and run like thousands of dollars of ads into things to try to build an audience, because my entire business and brand is about what I call organic strategy, right? Which means you're not paying for your leads, but you're actually putting in the time, energy, and effort to attract people and to move people along what I call your yellow brick road to wanting to work with you by using all of the things that are like already in you, by using the fact that you're a human being, that you have talent and gifts and passion, that you're smart, that you have something to offer and share with the world, and that you can use your voice to do it and to build relationships and to make connections and to be willing to invest time and energy in people. If you have a people-oriented business, like if your business is a business that runs on human beings wanting to get value from you specifically, specifically, meaning that you're going to coach them, that you're going to teach them, that you're going to mentor them, that you're going to direct them, that you're going to be involved intimately and directly in their success, in their progress, in where they want to go and what they want to do and what they want to achieve, then you have a human-focused business, and therefore you can be and should be using human-focused marketing to do that. And, you know, this makes me feel sometimes like I'm a little bit of like a radical or a little bit of a disruptor because, you know, my circles, I'm in some circles with other successful entrepreneurs because, as you know, it's really important to surround yourself with other successful solopreneurs and entrepreneurs because doing this alone feels like doo-doo, right? Like you can't do it alone. And so that's a big reason why we pay to be inside of group experiences, masterminds, group programs. This is part of what the Passion and Prosperous Academy is about, right? Like my program, and you know, whether you're in Passion and Prosperous Academy or whether you're in my Passion and Prosperous Mastermind, which is like a little bit of it's like the advanced version of the Academy. It's for business owners who are ready to like do, you know, like more, like scale a little bit and start doing bigger things that require bigger investments of time, energy, and money, like putting on your own summits and putting out a podcast and, you know, like writing a book or just doing like, expanding your thought leadership and your visibility in strategic ways. Whether you're in any of the ways that you work with me, one of the things that I provide is community, because I believe that like we cannot do this without being in a community. And there are free communities that you can be in. I know I'm on a tangent right now, but this is part of what the article is about. And we're going to talk a little bit about like what points she thought were like the ones that she ended up, you know, using in the article, which was almost everything I said, actually. But I'm just going to stay on community for a minute. It is just essential that you're in a community, but a curated community. And what that means is that this is different than just being in like a Facebook group that's free and thinking that you're in a community. Because in Facebook groups that are free, like you're first of all most likely surrounded by like people that are not really like making it. You know, I don't want to say making it, but in my experience, when I'm in Facebook groups that are free, mostly what I see are people asking for help. And then the people that are responding are mostly saying, oh, I'm in the same boat, right? But when you join a community that you had to invest something to be in, whether you're in a group program or a mastermind, or even just what's called a paid community, like I'm in a paid community called the Mixer Mind, which is with a whole bunch of like incredibly inspiring, talented, and successful women entrepreneurs. And we like, you know, we support each other. We like, we collaborate with each other. We like, you know, we have Voxer chats with each other. We share what's going on in our businesses. And I just think that this is really important. And that's why I create community for myself. And I've been doing it for years. It's not a new thing. I've had group programs for this purpose for 5 years already. So we have these like amazing conversations, and the article comes out, and I just have to tell you, like, there was something so incredible, not just about, oh my God, I'm in Forbes, but to see that she really did just sort of like take almost verbatim everything that I was saying on our calls and put it in the article. It just made me feel like, okay, like, you know, it's all right that I'm not out there just talking about like how to make bajillions of dollars by, you know, because the strategies to do that are, you know, the strategies that a lot of the people out there are sharing when it comes to like making money in your sleep and having these, you know, big months and whatever, is that what they're not telling you is that what they're going to tell you inside is that you're going to create these low ticket offers, and then you're going to set up an automated funnel, and you're going to invest a lot of money in ads so that you can get people to buy your products. And basically, there's only one formula for making money in your business. It's how much your product, service, program, offer is, whatever, times the amount of people that are buying it. And when you see people like claiming these huge numbers that they're making in their income, they're making that because it's only two ways. either the offers that they're putting out are like 20 grand each, and so they get 10 people to say yes and they've made $200,000, or they're selling something at a much lower price point and they have volume of people buying it. And that's an audience. And they're either getting that audience by putting out ads on social media, or they're building that audience over time on social, you know, and then moving them over to an email list, right? Like, it's not a mystery. Like, it's not just energy. It's not energetic. It's not like step into the energy of making, you know, millions of dollars. That's part of it, because it takes a lot of energy, mindset, belief in yourself and what you're doing. I mean, all of that matters when it comes to like going big and making a lot of money and being a leader and, you know, and having a successful business. But then there's math, and math is math, and numbers are numbers. And I teach this and I talk about it all the time. So, you know, it was really validating for me to like get to be in Forbes without having to talk about like what I just don't align with, which is I'm not building my really successful business in that way of automated funnels and whatever. I'm not saying I'll never do it, but it's something that I reserve for when I want to invest a ton of money in ads and whatever to run something like that. And a lot of times what those businesses are is they make a lot of money, but they're not that profitable, which is why my message is I'll help you build a simple, profitable business. I believe that you can get to where I am, because it's how I got where I am, without all that stuff. You can have a multiple six-figure, $500,000 business without all that stuff. But it's a different investment. It's not the investment of money, but it's an investment of time and energy. But also it's an investment of you actually wanting to do the work that you like set out to do. So if you're a coach and you're like a human-focused person, and you, your greatest joy comes from transforming lives and seeing people having like breakthroughs and ahas. And like, if you get no greater joy out of seeing people's transformation, which is who I am, this is like what I've been doing for like over two decades, right? When I stepped into the yoga classroom for the first time as a student, something awakened in me that said, I need to do this for other people. And that's what I've been doing for years. And I hate teaching yoga on Zoom. I will never do that again, I don't think, right? But up until the pandemic, my greatest joy was being in the classroom with real people. And then also I had already become a coach before the pandemic. And everything about what I do has to do with people. And so the idea of trying to build a business model that involves me not interacting with people doesn't even make any sense to me. Like, I don't even know why I would do that. I love coaching. You know, the other day I got on a coffee chat. Oh, so that community that I'm in, I said it's all women, but actually there's one guy in it. There's one guy in this community. And so I set up a coffee chat with him just so we could like, you know, get to know each other. And I had sent him the link to book that time on my calendar. And the first thing he said to me when we got on the call was, wow, like you must be really busy. He said something. He said, because, you know, your link had hardly any availability. And without missing a beat, I said to him, yeah, I know. It's because I'm a coach that actually coaches. And the reason why I said that is because there are so many people out there these days calling themselves coaches that don't coach. Because the only thing that makes you a coach is if you actually interact in real time with a human being one-on-one. That's what coaching is. Literally, that's what coaching is a conversation between a coach and a client. That is the definition of coaching. So if someone's out there calling themselves a coach, but they don't actually talk to people, they're not coaching. They've switched gears. Now they're teaching. All right. So they should just own that. They should be like, I'm a teacher. They shouldn't call themselves a coach. Okay. So anyway, so back to the article. So what I wanted to share with you today was like, you know, what she ended up sort of like putting out in the article, right? Which was, she titled it, Marketing is Supposed to Be Authentic, but What Does That Actually Look Like? And the reason why she said marketing is supposed to be authentic is because, you know, I'm not the first person, you know, obviously in the world to talk about authentic marketing or being authentic or using yourself as like your greatest marketing tool. But if you're like the brand, if you're the service provider, if you're the one that people need to pick to help them to get the outcomes that they want or whatever, then your marketing needs to be authentic. And what authentic means is it needs to be you. It needs to be like you. It needs to involve you. And that's going to always get you farther than anything that removes you from the equation or that, like, you know, puts you behind the screen, behind a computer. I mean, you're behind the screen when you're doing like a live training on Zoom or whatever. But what I mean is like where you're just like a social media post. Like a social media post is not enough freaking marketing for you. And so, you know, people that think that like they're going to like make it big on social media, if you're not an influencer or you don't really want to be on social media 24/7, like that marketing strategy is not going to work for you. So she titled the article, Marketing is Supposed to Be Authentic, but What Does That Actually Look Like? And I showed up. After our third call, she said, okay, this is great. Can you next time for our next call, just come with like 5 strategies that you would share with the audience? So of course, because I'm Stacey Brass Russell, I came up with 10 because I just wanted her to like be able to pick what she thought were like the best ones or the ones that like resonated or aligned most, she thought, you know, with her audience. And she ended up using, I think, almost all of them. What did it be? 1, 2, I think almost all of them. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. All 10 made it to the article. So I'm just going to like walk you through what, I mean, you could read the article, but I'm going to give you a little context of like why I shared these things with her. So the first thing that she picked up on that she put in the article was know who you're for. She wrote whom you're for. I always say like know who you're for, right? Which, as you know, I'm niche obsessed. I was reading someone who I really like. I follow someone on social media, and I'm actually in like a low cost membership with her, like just like an Instagram sort of like membership, and she literally put out this whole post about how like you don't need to know your niche, and it's so interesting because, you know, we all have like our different philosophies and our different things that we say, and I definitely feel very strongly about niche, but I feel strongly about it the way I teach it, and I don't teach niche as like a hot hook or an elevator pitch. I teach niche as actually knowing who you are and what your expertise is and what you have to offer and what your specific gifts and skills are that you bring to the work, in addition to knowing not only who you want your client to be, but who's going to want to work with you because of all of those things. And so that was the first thing that she picked up on, because I basically say not everyone is going to want to work with you, and that is okay. Because, like, first of all, you can't work with everyone in the world. And the only way that you're going to be able to find out who is going to work with you is you have to be okay not trying to be for everyone. Because then you'll end up being generic and broad, and no one's going to understand what you can do or how you can help them. So it's better to just speak to the people that you are really best at serving. And they're going to be the people that are going to resonate the most with you because of how you do what you do. And that is a huge part of your niche. So that was the first thing that she talked about, was she said authentic marketing is where you recognize that you need to be able to really identify and know what your unique expertise is, who you are, what sets you apart, and then be okay with knowing that like not everyone is going to resonate with you, and being and just going for the people that you know are. That's authentic marketing. Okay, the second thing that she picked up on was think of your clients as real people, not transactions, dollar signs, or avatars. And I think this is like one of my strongest suits as an entrepreneur, as a coach, as a business owner, as a mentor, as a whatever you want to call me. I think this is one of the things that it sets me apart, is that I care deeply about people and the decisions that they make for themselves and the choices they make. I am not interested in just trying to sell anyone and everything things that they don't need. I also deeply understand what it's like to be a human being, and I know that it's not always easy to make certain choices about investing in ourselves and our businesses. I understand the way human brains work because it's what I've been fascinated, you know, with for years. And when I'm thinking about like making money in my business, I think about the fact that the only way that I make money is if another human being feels safe enough and trusts me enough to invest in working with me, in that they believe that I'm going to care about them tremendously and their outcomes. And, you know, I think that when your business becomes like ultra automated and you're just out there selling dreams to people on autopilot, you know, and you have no way of knowing if they're actually making that work for them or if they're being successful with it, and you have no idea if someone like took their last $500 out of their pocket because you said anyone and everyone can like turn their expertise into a course and make money in their sleep, and then that person finds out that that's actually not true, but they've given their last $500 or a very important $500 to buy that course, and now they bought it from some like fancy pantsy hot shit person who they have no connection to, who's not giving the support to like to them, that literally makes my stomach turn. Like it pains me. And that is what's happening in the industry. That is what's happening whenever you see some of the big name people do these gigantic launches where they're selling products and courses off the end of it, and they've got like thousands, tens of thousands of people buying, and those people buy that, and then I guarantee you that the success rate of people getting what they should, what they thought out of it is really low. And those people, like maybe for some people it's a drop in the bucket, but I actually believe that for a lot of people it's not. I know for a fact that when people invest in my programs, I know that not one person feels like it's money they have to throw away. And not one person feels like it's not a big deal for them to take whatever amount it is. I'm starting the Client Attraction Accelerator today, which you can still join. I'm sorry I didn't say that. If it's Wednesday, May 8th, or anywhere in the week of Wednesday, May 8th, or even a little after, if you want to be in the Client Attraction Accelerator with me, it's a 6-week program. It's a live program. It's how I can serve you like in real time. And help you with your business, it's only $800. And, you know, to me, I say only because it's a live coaching program for 6 weeks with me, and you get a one-on-one session, and I provide, like, you know, very high-level coaching and mentorship. So I know that it's worth $800, but I also know that for some of the people who signed up, they even told me, they were like, this is a big deal. That I'm making this investment in myself and my business because this is money that I'm taking out of savings, or this is money, you know, whatever. And I get it. And I don't want to take people's money and not know that I'm going to be there for them. So that's what I mean by like thinking of your clients as real people and not transactions, dollar signs, or avatars. All right. Okay. The next thing was overcoming your fear of visibility. So authentic marketing requires for you to not try and do all of your marketing by like putting on Canva graphics, you know, like making images or whatever, but you have to be willing to be visible. You have to be willing to put yourself out there, whether it's on social media or, and this is really important, by like getting out in front of more people, by networking, by talking about what you do, by seeking out opportunities to be a guest on a podcast or a summit. And, you know, at whatever level you're at in your business, there's something for you. You don't have to be a fancy person or like making a lot of money or have a bajillion clients to be able to have someone want you to be a guest on their podcast. Maybe they don't have a top 1% podcast, right? But they've got an audience. Okay. Like, so you don't have to be at a certain level to make yourself visible. All right. You have to be willing to get out there and talk about what you do all the time, everywhere. That's authentic marketing. That is real marketing. That's you representing you and going out and talking about what you do and finding every opportunity you can to connect with people, to talk to people, to get in front of people. So if that scares you and gives you the ick and you're like, that's not me. And if you, first of all, if you're constantly saying you're an introvert, I've got an episode on that, just so you know. Like, If you're constantly saying you're an introvert, it's killing your business. Trust me. So if you identify as an introvert, then you should listen to my episode on that because we need to shift some of your thinking. You can still be an introvert, but that doesn't mean that you can't market for your business. All right. So that's what overcome your fear of visibility, overcoming your limiting beliefs or your thoughts, your fears of what other people will think, the idea that you have to already be like making tons of money or have a million clients to talk about what you do and be valid. So many things that could be getting in your way of your visibility. You need to work on those things. I can work on those things with you. That's such a big part of what we do. Actually, in the academy right now for the month of May, we're doing a challenge. And I didn't name it a visibility challenge, but in a lot of ways, it's a visibility and kind of like step outside your comfort zone challenge because there's all of these activities listed in there that you can get points for that have to do with you basically putting yourself out there. Okay, because that's the only way you can have a business. All right, the next thing that she wrote, which again, this is like so me, is she wrote, show up from a place of service. And what I talked about with her was how authentic marketing is where you recognize that like showing up, offering value, having patience, being generous, recognizing that like sometimes people need like more time or more, they need more. They need to build that know, love, and trust in you. They need to like really be moved over the like to like getting what I call the green light in their system in order to make an investment in something. Especially something that can seem very esoteric or intangible, like coaching or hiring a teacher or a mentor. You know, I just think about like all of the voice teachers that I've worked with, right? Because, you know, when I was on Broadway and when I was a performer and a voiceover artist, I mean, my voice, my instrument was something that I had to be, you know, keeping at a certain, you know, keeping up with, right? And I've worked with so many voice teachers and it's like, that's such a trusting relationship. That's such a big deal because how can somebody else help you figure out what to do with your breath and your tongue and your diaphragm and all these things? It's like such a trusting thing that this person is somehow going to know how to help you access, right, what's inside of you. And that's what coaches do. That's what we do as teachers. It's what I did as a yoga teacher, right? And so sometimes it takes a while for someone to build up the trust that like you can actually help them. And that is showing up from a place of service. I'm not saying do everything for free, but you know, like sometimes we have to offer free content. Well, not sometimes, for me, all the time. And we have to do that with the expectation that if someone doesn't like immediately say yes to working with us or buying whatever, that that's not a bad thing. And we can offer ourselves in generosity and service and be unattached to whether or not the person takes that next step forward immediately. And we have to trust that in what I call the processional effect and that they will actually take that step another time if it's right for them. The next thing that she wrote was let them know the why behind what you do. So such a huge part of real authentic marketing is being willing to share your own story, your own journey, your own reason for doing what you do, right? Your passion. That's why this show is called Passionate and Prosperous, because you get to have a business and make money doing what you're the most passionate about. And what you're passionate about is probably something that comes from like a story, a journey. Why are you so passionate about that? What is the reason behind the work you do, the business? Why do you care so much about creating this movement in the world or making sure that you can reach as many people as possible and help them have better health or help them succeed or help them turn their lives around or help them believe in themselves or help them to love themselves or help them to like have better businesses, make more money, figure out how they want to put themselves out into the world. You know, my greatest passion is pulling your gifts and skills out of you and helping you to name them and put words on them so that you can then go out and get paid for doing that, right? Instead of you walking around going, I don't know, I'm just good at what I do, or I just really love this or love that. And my passion is to use my skills for pulling that out of you so that you can go out in the world and do the work that you want to do and get paid for it. So that you don't have to feel like you have to do something that you don't love doing to make money. And then have a life where you're like torn because you're like, why do I spend so many hours of my life doing this thing, you know, when I really want to be doing this thing? Or why do I feel beholden or trapped that if I leave this thing that I'm not happy with or that I don't want to do anymore, this relationship, this job, live in this city, whatever, I'm so terrified that I won't be able to support myself. And that's what started my whole coaching business, right? And so you need to be willing to share those things with people because that's what they're investing in. They're investing in like they're in you telling them, I've walked the walk. I know what I'm talking about. I know this story and I'm passionate about helping you with this because of X, Y, and Z. The next thing that she really loved was don't hide behind handouts and FAQs. And what actually, you know, I meant by that, or like, I don't think I said it exactly that way, but I think that I said, don't expect to sell your services just by putting, you know, sending people to a website, you know, or by giving them those free PDFs or whatever. Like that's part of it. But it is really important that you're willing to like make time to talk to people, to get on Zooms, to put yourself out there, whether it's running a masterclass or a challenge or offering a free talk or a webinar, or even just offering for people to get on a call with you, even if it's not a discovery call, okay? And discovery calls, because there's a lot of people out there now these days who are talking about how they don't do discovery calls. If someone doesn't know already that they want to work with me and they need a call, they're not my client. And you know what? Okay, great. Then I guess that's true for you. But I know for me, first of all, I don't even want to have like a one-on-one client that I didn't get to talk to. Like, I think that would be weird. I want to make sure I'm the right coach for someone. I don't want people to just buy. And then the second thing is, I believe that a lot of times smart people, and you hear a lot from people who make really big investments and then regret it. And I believe it's because they didn't actually get to connect with that person in real life and make sure that that is the right person for them, even if they like their message and like what they're saying and like their vibe. If you don't know for sure that someone's going to be able to look you in the eye and that the feeling you get is that they like genuinely love and care about you deeply and you're about to spend thousands of dollars to work with them, I don't know if that's like a good idea. Okay. Use transformation versus information as a marketing strategy. I was like, woo! Like what I talk about all the time is in freaking Forbes. People don't need more information, right? You hear me talk about this all the time. People do not need to like hear from you shit that they can Google. Then they're not going to pay for that. Like that's not what they're paying for. They're paying for the belief that you can actually help them use that information. They don't want to have to figure it out for themselves. They don't want to have to read a million things and they don't know which is the right thing for them. And when they come to you, you're actually showing them how you would help them to get that transformation. And you're actually even giving them a taste of it in real time. That's authentic marketing, not bait and switch where you get someone on a webinar and all you talk about is their problems. And then you basically say, so if you want the solution, you can pay me for it. If you can give someone a hit of transformation, if you can show someone in one conversation with you or one free thing with you, if you can have them walk away from that already feeling transformed, even if it's in a tiny way, they are a million more times likely to want to know more about working with you. So transformation versus information is what it takes in these days. You have to be able to tell people how. And she even wrote in the article how I talk about that you need a signature transformational system. You need to be able to like articulate and map out how you actually help people as the expert that you are and what sets you apart from someone else who says that they do the same thing as you. Because that's what people are investing in. Okay. Now, this one, she kind of reworded it. It's not really what I meant, but she said, tackle one goal at a time. And what I was talking about was how important it is to create a business where you have ways for your clients to continue working with you. Because if you're always looking for new people, new, that's going to be exhausting and going to be basically impossible to sustain. And so what I was talking about with her was when you create a business that offers people exceptional experiences, when you are amazing at what you do, when you really, really like make your clients feel loved and cared for and supported, and you're actually helping them get results, they're going to want to stick around. They're going to want to be able to continue working with you. They're going to want you to, if you help someone get to a certain level, then you should be able to be the person to help them to get to the next level. I mean, of course, until maybe you're not the person anymore. But she kind of broke it down as like, you know, one goal at a time, that's a strategy. But to me, what I really was referencing was, okay, it's not about that being a strategy. It's about setting yourself up in a business where you recognize that like client retention is a major benefit to your model, right? To your business model, so that you're not always having to get brand new clients, but you've got some people that move along, right, into higher levels with you. And I'll give you an example. Like there are people that join the academy and then end up going on to work with me one-on-one more exclusively because that's where I can support them doing like some more custom tailored higher level strategies that they might want to do for their business, or where I'm really helping them with their unique thought leadership or expertise, right? Or that I've created, you know, bridge programs for people to move from one thing to another, or, you know, I have clients working with me now that have been working with me for years. And I actually think that that's like something to be really proud of in my business. Like when people renew, that's a sign, right? It's a sign. They're like, I'm getting value. This is where I want to be. This is the community I want to be in. This is the coach I want to work with, and I'm staying. The next thing that she wrote was, create, I want to make sure I'm not missing anything, create opportunities and experiences for people to connect with you in community. And I think this is huge. This is why I teach all of my clients. And look, when you're first starting, you may not have a community. You may have three people that sign up for your things, but you got to start somewhere. You can't first start creating workshops or community or events like when you have a community. You have to build a community, right? And so bringing your people together, which is why, like for Passionate and Prosperous, for the podcast, I always say, like when I do my free trainings on Zoom, when I do my live event in October, which you're invited to, right? The sales page for that, the sign up page is going to come out in June, but you can start planning now to be in New York City with me on October 25th and 26th. It's like Passionate and Prosperous Live. It's all of this. It's up-leveling your mindset, up-leveling your business strategy, up-leveling your messaging, up-leveling how you're showing up in your business and making a plan for what you want to do, you know, moving forward, doing it in a room, like in real time, in an incredible high-vibe community, connecting and networking with other heart-centered entrepreneurs and coaches and business owners and service providers and yoga teachers and energy workers and like being in the room, that's where you want to be, right? And that's why I create that. Now that's at a higher level because of where I am in my business. I want you to have that community, but you have to start somewhere. Did I start with that? No. I started with yoga classes, right? Building that community. But then when I became a coach and I had to move a lot of my business online, you know, I started out with like workshops and, you know, going live and building my community from there over the years. Then she put, I think this is the last point. Yep. The last one, practice collaboration over competition. And this is huge. Okay. This is a huge part of my business model. And what that means is figuring out how to like find other business owners that you can collaborate with by participating in someone else's live event, summit, doing podcast guesting swaps, going live on Instagram, right? That's like a simple one. Like you don't have to have a podcast or be doing a summit. But basically like you know, finding other businesses and business owners, or even like your local chamber of commerce or a local business where you might go and say, hey, I would love to provide this value for your community. How can we make this a win-win that I get to like come to your place and offer this valuable talk or, you know, workshop that I have? And, you know, how can that benefit your community and your business, right? And now it's a win-win because you're getting in front of someone else's audience, but they are providing their audience with some value that they don't normally, that they don't provide themselves, right? And this is, that's what networking is. That's what building relationships is. It's about finding people, especially ones that share some sort of an adjacent or common audience with you, that it's a win-win for the two of you to support each other and to make each other more visible. And that is the most authentic organic business strategy you can have. Because the alternative to that is being on your own and solo and investing thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in ads. That's the solo route. The profitable, simple route, meaning where you're not spending all that money on ads and where you have a human-focused business, is where you find other humans and you strategize, hey, would you like for me to come provide this value to your audience? Do you want to come share value with mine? Do you want to collaborate? Do you want to do something together? You know, and then, or do you want to go network? Or, hey, how can I help you? Who are your ideal clients? These are my ideal clients. You know, how can we, you know, how can we think of each other when we meet people like that? And this is so important for your business, getting out in the world, collaborating, talking to people, making friends, making relationships, getting visible, and finding ways to be visible. Okay? So that's what was in the article, and I wanted to come and sort of talk it out like with my own words again, and also celebrate and share with you my win, which was, you know, like overcoming this story that I had in my head about what Forbes would find valuable. Like what, like who am I to like talk to Forbes? And you know, like it's so funny that this happens to us at every level. You've heard me talk about new level, new devil, right? It's like every time you think you've broken through a limiting belief or you've smashed imposter syndrome or you've like shut down an old story that you have about yourself or about, you know, what you can do or about your possibility, that every time you think you like broke through that, you did, but then a new one shows up for you. And so this is a real time showing you how mine showed up, but now I get to see that this was like a huge breakthrough and a huge up level and a huge affirmation, a huge validation. And now I can use this for as long as it lasts until the next thing comes to be like, who are you to do that or say that or think, you know, like my human brain absolutely like brought in the awesome story of like, who the hell do you think you are? Forbes? What's she going to write about in Forbes about you? And now I get to respond back to that part of me and be like, who do I think I am? I'm Stacey fucking Brass Russell. And that's what you have to say to yourself every single time your voice comes in and goes, who do you think you are to think that so-and-so wants you in Forbes or that so-and-so would have you on their podcast or that so-and-so would ever want to work with you or sign up for your program or read your email? Okay. And the answer to that voice in your head is, I'm so-and-so and so. You don't have to say the fucking, I like that. You know, I curse. I'm Stacey fucking Brass Russell. That's who I am. So that is how I'm going to leave it for today. If you want to join the Client Attraction Accelerator, if you're listening to this episode anytime near or around May 8th, it comes out on May 8th, 2024. But in the week, if you want to join us, please join us. Please come. Let me help you get more clients. All right. Come work with me at a, you know, not too big of an investment for what you're going to get. And I will love on you the way that I love on all of my clients. And I think, you know, I love on people that don't pay me too. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. As always, I'd love to hear your feedback. Please, please don't ever hesitate to reach out and let me know if you liked an episode, if it resonated with you, what was your favorite thing. We post about the show on social media. If you ever want to share one of the posts and with your people, I love it. Put it in your stories. Tell people to listen. It's a big part of how you can help me grow my show, and not for me, but because I want to make the biggest impact in the world as I possibly can. I am sending you all the love, and I can't wait to be with you next week. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Passionate and Prosperous with me, Stacey Brass Russell. If you like what you're listening to, please make sure you're following or subscribing. And if you're on Apple, that's the little plus sign on the top right, so that you get notified when new episodes drop every Wednesday. As always, I'm sending you love and high vibes. And remember, life is hard, and there's always something you can do about it.